Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. My mother owned a janitorial service, and the older she got, the more she would say, "It's hard to get good help." How many of you know that it is hard to get good help sometime? Amen? And don't you ladies say that too loud. Your husband might feel a little concerned about that. But it is sometimes hard to get good help. But I can remember also when I was a pastor in Jackson, Tennessee, 30 years ago, I was performing a wedding in Memphis. And as I was coming down and back and forth to Memphis for the rehearsal dinner and then for the wedding itself, that weekend I memorized Psalm 121. And Psalm 121 is about help. If you need help, I know where to tell you to find help. The Lord will help you. David said, "My help comes from the Lord." Say that with me, please. My help comes from the Lord. Some of the most beautiful scripture you'll ever read, Psalm 121. I hope you are accustomed to reading in the Psalms. I hope you'll discipline yourself to read in the Psalms. And I want you to look there in Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence," or "from where, shall my help come?" And then he answers his own question. "My help comes from the Lord." Say that with me, please. "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Is that not some of the most beautiful scripture you've ever read in your life? Lord, I pray that you would burn this in our hearts. Lord, there are people who need these promises that they might be able to make it another week. And Lord, we thank you that ultimately our help comes from you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that I have told my son, who is a pastor, and I've told other young pastors this, is one of the best things you can do as a pastor is learn to say to people, "I need your help." Nobody can pastor a church by themselves. Nobody can serve the Lord by themselves. If you're serving the Lord in any capacity, you need to learn to ask other people in sincerity and just say, "I need your help." When you say that, most people who love the Lord are ready to help you. But I want to say this to you. Sometimes you need more help than any person can give you. You need help that can only come from the Lord. And that's what David was saying. He was saying, you know, "I need the Lord's help. I need the help from the Lord." Let's just give you a few things about this. First of all, you need the help of the Lord. Why? He is your source. The Lord is your source. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains." Now, what mountains is he talking about? David was out on the porch, probably looking around at Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and he was saying, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." And he asked, he said, "From where shall my help come?" And then he answers his own question. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Jerusalem is built on top of seven, we would call them hills, but they would call them mountains, Mount Scopus, Mount Olivet. the Mount of Corruption, Mount Ophel, the original Mount Zion, the newer Mount Zion, and the hill on which the Antonia fortress was built. The psalmist said, I lift up my eyes to these mountains, from whence shall my help come? And even when he asked the question, he knew that those seven impressive mountains around Jerusalem were powerless were it not for the protection that only the Lord could give. That's why he went on to say in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist was saying, my hope is not in the mountains that God created. My hope is in the God who created the mountains. I'll say that again. I like that. My hope is not in the mountains that were created by God. My hope is in the God who created the mountains. God is bigger and stronger and more helpful than any mountain or any other help you can see. The Creator is always greater than the creation. One of the signs that will be coming toward the end of time is that people will start worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. How many of you know we're already there? Amen? I mean, when you can kill an unborn baby, but you can't break the egg of an eagle, we have lost our minds. Now, I'm not wanting to go break the egg of an eagle, but I tell you what, we ought to get a law to where you can't kill an unborn baby. It ought to be illegal. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from whence shall my help come? Where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Notice, he puts in creation. You know, when you give up creation, you give up the very first miracle that's referred to in all the scripture. If the opening sentence of the Bible is not true, then maybe the whole Bible's not true. The Bible says at the get-go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice he's basically quoting that. He said, you know, my help comes from the Lord, Genesis 1:1, who made the heaven and the earth. That's my God. That's my helper. I'm not looking to some resource. I'm looking to the source. I've told you before where I got that. I got that from Bishop Patterson right here in Memphis, Tennessee. When I first was diagnosed with myasthenia for 6 or 7 weeks, I had to be in my bed and I couldn't preach. In the fall of 2000, and I was on my bed watching Bishop Patterson from his church here in Memphis, Church of God in Christ, and he was preaching. And he said, you know, some of you are all excited about the resource when you ought to be excited about the source. He said, your job is just a resource. Any other flow of provision is just a resource, but God is the source. And then he said something I'll never forget. He said, sometimes when you start looking at your resource instead of the source, God will mess with your resource. How many of you know that's true right there? Amen. Why? Because he doesn't want your resource to become idolatrous. You don't trust the resource. You don't trust the thing that he uses to help you. You trust him. God is your help. What happened to Elijah? Elijah was in a time of barrenness, a time of drought. I just read it this last week in 1 Kings chapter 17. And he goes, he says, he just all of a sudden, the first thing you hear about Elijah is there's going to be a famine in the land, a drought in the land for 3 years, 3.5 years. God said, now go hide yourself and go to the brook, and I'm going to bring bread to you every day, and they're going to feed you every day. The ravens will feed you, and you're going to be by a brook of water. But guess what? After a while, the Bible says, the brook dried up. Don't tell me you don't know what a dry brook looks like. It's when your resource stops. It's when the pay that you were getting from them or the supply you were getting from someplace else stops, and all of a sudden, what does he do? God says, okay, now look, I'm your source. I've got a widow up here. I want you to go stay with her, and she's going to make you food until the end of the drought. Now, you know what? He goes up there, and he sees this widow woman, and she's got one son, and she's got one little bit of Martha White flour. Amen? That's all she had. And he said, hey, would you get me some water? She says, yes, I'll get you some water. He said, while you're there, I'll just put it in Steve Gaines. Would you make me a biscuit? Would you give me some bread? She said, this is all I have. And I was about to go make a final meal. I'm gathering sticks to make a fire to cook this last little bit of flour and oil for my son and I, and then we're going to die. He said, you won't die. God's going to supernaturally put more flour and oil in that little bowl every day. God is our source. You see, God had to teach the man of God to trust in the source of God, not the resource. And every morning, they went to that little bowl, and they stuck their head down there and started singing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, because there's oil and there's flour every morning. Where did it come from? From the source, from God. God is your source. Man is not your source. God is. God is your help. God, not your money, not your retirement investment, not Social Security. How many of you know that it's neither social nor is it secure? Amen? God says in Isaiah 45, verse 5, I am the Lord. There is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The Lord is your helper. He is your source. Everybody say right now with me, God is my only source. Say that with me, God is my only source. We could quit now, go to the house, and have a good word from God right there. Secondly, you need the help of the Lord because He is also not only your source, He's your stability. He's your stability. Look at verse 3. He will not allow your foot to slip. How many of you have ever been slipping and you were grabbing for anything to make you stable? Anybody? How many of you know that this time tomorrow night it's supposed to be snowing in Memphis? Does anybody know that? Some of y'all don't believe me. Where's Tim Simpson? Is that right? It's going to get cold. It's going to get wet. And when it gets cold and it gets wet, it gets slippery, right? Thank you very much. There's the authority right there. You heard it, guys. But God says, I will not allow your foot to slip. The Bible is filled with imagery of walking with God. Walking with God. Over and over, God says He will walk with us, and He says we can walk with Him. And while we're walking with Him, we have stability. Our foot doesn't slip. By that I mean there is nothing that can touch us. When we're walking with God, there's nothing that can happen to us unless He providentially allows it. You won't slip if you walk with God. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley, literally of shaded death, I fear no evil. Why? You are with me. God is my stability. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 66, verse 9. Our lives are in God's hands, and He keeps our feet from stumbling. Proverbs 3, 23. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Isaiah 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Even if you walk through fire, God said it won't touch you. Daniel 3, verse 25, the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looked down and said, "Look, I see four men loosed and they're walking." They'd been bound. Their feet had been bound. Their hands had been bound. They weren't supposed to be walking. They were supposed to be burning. But they were walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth one looks like the Son of the gods. That is, the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that when you go through the fire, Jesus can get in the fire right there with you? Amen? And he'll walk with you. Ephesians 4:1. "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner," live in a manner, that's walking with the Lord, "in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called." Colossians 2:6, last one. "Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him." The moment you get saved, you begin your walk with the Lord. And God gives you spiritual stability. Let's tack on verse 7 with Colossians 2, verse 6. Look at verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him to be established in your faith, just as you are instructed and overflowing with gratitude." You're going to be stable when you walk with the Lord. You can walk with Jesus throughout this life. You can even walk with Jesus through the experience of death and not stumble one bit. Jesus will be your stability here on earth, and he'll be your stability to take you on to heaven. One day, even Christians who cannot physically walk on this earth will be able to run when they get to heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what that'd be like? Never to walk on this earth, but when you die, then to run for the very first time, run into the arms of Jesus. We were singing that song, Sonia Walton, and the choir and the orchestra were singing that song last week, Throne Room. I have listened to it probably 20 times, no embellishment, all week long. Can't get it off my mind. I listened to it this afternoon. A group out of Louisiana from Alexandria was singing it. And it talked about the veil is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow. And I think about people that can't walk when they get to heaven. They're going to see the door open. The veil is torn. The door swings wide. I run to the Lord. Can you imagine running to Jesus? For the first time, you're literally running to the Lord. What is that? You're walking with God. The Lord will save you, and he will allow you to walk with stability. I want to say this to you. One of the marks of a Christian is you're stable. When everybody else seems unhinged, when everybody else seems all out of whack, there's this peace that's down in your soul that passes all understanding. There's a stability. When everybody else is panicking, you know that God never panics. And you're walking with him, and he's holding your hand. Psalm 18:33 says, "He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places." It's like a mountain goat. You've got those hind feet. Don and I were in Canada this summer, and we literally saw sheep go straight up mountains. I've never seen anything like it. They crisscross over here. They walk on little bitty things. It's amazing. But God gave them the ability to do that. And guess what? God will give you stability. He is your help. He's your stability. The Lord is also your helper in that he is your security. Look at the last part of verse 3. "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord is your keeper. Now go down to verse 8. The Lord will guard, I love this, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. That's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. God's going to guard you when you go out. I got news for you. You need more guarding nowadays than you ever have. You need guarding. You need for God to guard you when you go out. There are people that are mean, that are out there, they're demonized, many of them, and they will do harm. And you don't need to be afraid, but you do need to be walking with the Lord. Now, I want to say something to you, and I don't want to be a legalist, but I do want to be obedient. If I were you, I would not want to go into a day that I had not prayed over. I want to encourage you, whatever you have to do, go to bed on time so you can get up on time and you can pray over your day. Don't enter a prayerless day. It is a dangerous thing to do. And pray a hedge of protection over your family. Pray, daddies, would you just rise up in the spirit and say, I'm going to pray a protective hedge for my children. I'm going to pray that they will make the right choices. I'm going to pray that God will intervene. I'm going to pray that God will let his angels be stationed around them. I'm going to pray for God's protective hedge. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. The psalmist says the Lord is our keeper. He's our watchman. He's our patrolman. He's our sentinel. He's our scout. The Lord said in Zechariah 2 verse 5, for I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, that is my people, and I will be the glory in her midst. I'll be the wall of fire around you, and I'll be the glory right in the middle of you. I will protect my people just like an omnipotent wall of fire. Now, that doesn't mean that God's people will never, ever be persecuted. It doesn't mean if you get saved, you'll never be hurt. But what it does mean is this. If you're walking obediently with the Lord, it does mean that nothing can come into your life without going through, passing through the sovereign, omnipotent, protective hand of God. Sometimes God will let some things come in there just to give you a little test, but I got news for you. God's a good God. And God knows exactly what you need and what you don't need. He knows how much you can handle and how much he can give you. God will test you at times. He tested Abraham. He tested Job. But he did that just to refine him. Jesus himself said in John 15, if you bear much fruit, my Father will prune you so that you can bear more fruit. How many of you know that pruning doesn't sound very comfortable? Amen. Pruning, he'll whittle on you, all right? Do you know what I'm talking about? You say, that's my reward for obedience? No, bearing more fruit is your reward. But God has to work on you sometimes. Job lost his wealth, his health, and his children, but he got it all back many times over. Joseph was enslaved for 13 years, but then he ruled for decades as a mighty man of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've already talked about them. They were in the fiery furnace, but they came out. And the only thing that was burned off, I love this, the only thing that was burned off were the ropes that entangled them when they went in. They didn't even smell like smoke. Tell me God doesn't show off. Amen? Daniel went into the lion's den. He came out, and the people that had him thrown in there, they were thrown in, and they didn't come out. Jesus was buried in the tomb, but I heard somebody say this morning, he came out of the grave and he's alive. God may test you, but it's only to make you shine more brightly for his glory. The psalmist said in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now watch, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. You can have every protective measure you want, but if God is not watching over you, you don't have any protection. Aren't you glad that God never sleeps? You can sleep well because God never does. He never even blinks his eye. He never takes his eye off of his children. God is your security. Number four, you need the Lord because he is your shade. This is a beautiful text. I'm just going to treat it very quickly. Look at the last part of verse 5. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Some people ask me, why do you go to Israel in January? Because it's about 50 and 60 degrees. That's why. If you go in the summer, it's about 110, 115. With all due respect, you can fry an egg on a rock over there in the summer, all right? I don't care to go then. And they needed shade. Shade. There's not a lot of shade out there. It's very much desert area around Israel. But God said, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be your protection from the sun. I'm going to be protection from the moon. I'm going to be your shade. It's very much like the scriptures that we read about where there's a mother bird, a hen, if you will, putting her pinions, her wings over her little ones. Listen to this. Giving them shade, protecting them. Ruth 2, verse 12. Boaz said to Ruth, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Psalm 17, verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye, Lord. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36, verse 7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of God take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 91, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible about God protecting you. Verse 4 says, he will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. What did Jesus say to the Jews? Even though they rejected him, he said, I don't want you to reject me. I want you under my wings. This shows you, by the way, that you can resist the will of God. Listen to this. Matthew 23, 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were unwilling. Don't you tell me you can't resist God. Don't you tell me. You can't say no to the grace of God. They were unwilling. They chose not to come under his wings. I don't know about you, but I choose to come under his wings. I want to be under his protection. I want to be in his shade. I want him to be my shelter. And then finally, you need the help of the Lord, not only because he is your shade, but he is your Savior. He's your Savior. Look very quickly at verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your what? Say it out loud. Your soul, your soul. I need somebody not only to keep my body, I need somebody that I can give my soul to and he can keep my soul. God says, you're not a body with a soul, you're a soul with a body. Genesis 2, 7, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul, a living soul. Jesus said in Mark 8, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 10, 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him, talking about the Lord, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Your physical body will die one day. We talked about that this morning. It will deteriorate. God will give you a spiritual body, but your soul and your spirit immediately leave your body at death. They go to be with the Lord, or they go to be in hell, one way or the other. Your soul is the core part of you. It is the essence of who you are. And the Lord is your helper. He will save your soul tonight if you'll give your life to him. It's hard to find good help, isn't it? But man, you've got some help with the Lord, do you not? You think about it. He's your source. He's not your resource. He's your source. And I'll guarantee you, he's messing with some of your resources right now. So you won't trust in them. You'll trust in him. He's your source. He's your stability. He's your security. He's your shade. and praise His holy name. He's your Savior. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Read it with me. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Keep reading. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil, and he will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Let's thank God that he is our helper. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for a wonderful day at Bellevue. Now, would you just make it even more wonderful and let somebody give their heart to Christ here tonight? Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord will help you come to Christ. Let's all stand up. We're about to sing our final song of worship. If you don't know Jesus, we're going to have worship. We're going to have worship right now, and we're going to sing. But I want our pastors to come, and if you have never given your heart to Christ, if you've never repented of your sins, believed that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead to give you eternal life and received him as Lord and Savior, repent, believe, and receive. If you've never done that, come and take them by the hand, say, I want Christ in my life, and they'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, you say, you know what, I've been saved, but I need to go public with that, I want to be baptized, you come. Set up a time to be baptized, just like we had so many this morning. I think we had 9 this morning get baptized. We can have you be baptized as well. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Come. Then if you want to join our church, start that process. Come and say, I want to be part of a church that believes that the Lord is our source. The Lord is our help, and we need his help. One of the best things, by the way, you can say when you pray is, Lord, I need your help. One of the best prayers you'll ever pray, and he will help you. You come if you want to belong to a church like that. That's Bellevue Baptist Church. And if you need prayer tonight, you come. If you want to pray for healing, if you're sick, we do this every Sunday night. Guys are right over there. Guys, raise your hands. I get you to do that every week. I just want you to know where they are. They will anoint you with oil, according to Matthew chapter or James chapter 5, verses 16, right in there. And if you'll come, they will anoint you with oil and pray for you. And you keep taking your medicine, keep going to your doctor. I'm not telling you to get away from that. But man, add to that praying for healing. And ask the Lord to bring healing to you, all right? And just go over there, slip over there while we're singing. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And you come if you need to come. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for Psalm 121. Thank you that you're our helper. Help someone now be saved, I pray, in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen.